Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word. Hey, we're in the middle of a series, a good summer series. It's What Not to Wear. And by the end of the series, if you really like something on these racks, please take it home with you. All right. No, I was just kidding. Sorry. They may belong to somebody. I don't know. If that is your wardrobe, I will pray for you later. But anyways, praise the Lord. It's all good. Amen. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 6. Come on, start with me. Get there. Ephesians chapter 6. Start at verse 10. Finally. Amen. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. In the Lord, in the power of His might. Whose strength? Whose might? It's the Lord's. And God wouldn't tell you to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might if you couldn't be. So whose strength are you operating in? The strength of the Almighty, I'm telling you, glory to God. His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He's tricky. He's tricky. I used to sing that in, remember in Sunday school? How many went to Sunday school? It's good. I remember this one. It was, "The devil is a sly old fox. If I could catch him, I'd put him in a box. Put him in a box and throw away the key for all the tricks he played on me. I'm glad I am converted. I'm glad I am." Cheryl, you remember that? Yeah, you do. You do. I used to always wonder, wow, the devil's a sly old fox. If I could catch him, I don't want to catch him. What do I want to catch the devil for? Anyways, a lot of funny songs when we were kids, huh? You know, but actually it was one of my favorites, though, anyways. So... But you know what? He's wily. He's the wily devil, you know? And it wouldn't tell us to stand against the wiles of the devil if we didn't have to stand against them. You know what? The devil, he's trying to trick you, trying to, you know, trip you up, trying to lie to you, deceive you. He's especially trying to lie to you and deceive you from how good God is and how awesome His purposes are, how wonderful it is to be a child of God. He's coming to you and going, "It's not that good." "What? It's not that good. He doesn't even like you." "What? God doesn't like me? What?" He loves you. He's nuts about you. He's never going to change his mind about that. Really? Really. If somebody tells you different, say, "Get thee behind me, Satan." That would be harsh, wouldn't it? I was with a young man yesterday morning, having a little mentoring time with a young man. It was really good. I don't even think he's in high school yet. I'm not even sure. But so good. And meeting with this young guy, spending time with him, having breakfast. And he wanted to know what is revelation. And I talked about how Peter got a revelation of who the Christ was. And Jesus got so happy. He said, "Finally, a man had a God thought." Woo! Finally. Because he said, this is how we're going to build the church. We're going to build the church by men and women who get God thoughts and loose His kingdom on the earth. And he was so excited that a human being got a revelation. Can I get an amen? I said, but that same guy, Peter, the same guy, on the same day after Jesus said, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, flesh and blood hasn't revealed this, but the Spirit of God, the Spirit of your Father." Then the very same day he had to say, "Get behind me, Satan." Because, you know, Peter thought he was awesome. And then after that, Jesus said, "Now I'm going to let you in on the plan. I'm going to go to Jerusalem. Things are going to happen, but I'm actually going to die there." So Peter went, "Come here, Jesus, come here. Hey. I just got that fresh touch of God. I'm pretty awesome. And I want to take you aside. This killing you stuff, the dying stuff, stop talking like that. You're messing with the boys. You know, the boys are getting kind of confused and sad. We got traction now. We're moving now. We're a movement. Quit talking about that death stuff, okay?" And Jesus said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." So here's one guy who had a revelation from God, and on the same day, Jesus had to rebuke the devil. Anyways, that was exciting. I don't know who that was for, but if it was for you. But you know, the devil's a wily, and he's tricky. He comes. He's, you know, the minute God bless you, the devil wants to come steal it. The minute God pours something on you, He wants to come and take it from you, you know? So you got to stand firm. You got to stand there for what you're standing there for. Stand firm, because we don't wrestle. Say wrestle. And if you're from out east, you say wrestle. Amen. Say wrestle. When I grew up, I want to be a wrestler. No, we don't wrestle against principalities and powers and against, well, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Touch your neighbor. Go ahead, just... if it's appropriate, you know, if they don't want to be touched on. Pinch. You know, that's flesh and blood right there. A lot of people are wrestling against flesh and blood stuff they see. Everybody thinks the problem, my boss is my problem, you know. My problem is the government, you know. My problem is my brother. He just drives me crazy. You know, It's not that. It's none of that. You don't wrestle against flesh and blood. And we got to realize that the unseen realm is where the source and the motivation of every single thing comes. Everything that's on the seen realm started in the unseen realm. So you got to, even the good stuff. So, I mean, it's all being able to see, and eyes to see and ears to hear are given from the Lord, so you can see and you can hear in the Spirit. Amen? It's good, good. All right, so, but you're wrestling against powers, against rulers, the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Thank God we got all spiritual gifts and blessings in heavenly places because we're wrestling in heavenly places, but we got all the tools to be successful. All right, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. So the word wrestle is pele. The word wrestle, it means to contest, a contest between two in which each endeavors to throw the other and which is decided when the victor is able to hold his opponent down with his hand upon his neck. That's intense, eh? That's what God wants you to do to the devil. He wants you to wrestle against spiritual, that whole hierarchy, right from the top to the bottom, the whole spiritual demonic hierarchy. God says, I've given you authority over it, and I want you to wrestle it, and I want you to get your foot on its neck. That's what it says in Romans 16. God will of peace, he will soon crush Satan under your feet. Under your feet. Say, under my feet. Bam, right there. God's going to do that. God's going to use you, and in partnership with you, he's going to destroy every single area in this world where the enemy has encroached upon the good purposes of God through us, the church. We are the vehicle to supernaturally manifest the goodness of God to principalities in high places and to bring about the order and the purpose of the kingdom of God right here and right now. Well, let's just, who cares about now? Jesus, just get us out of here. I've given up on now. I'll tell you, I got no good thoughts about this world. It's just bad, bad, bad. Smarten up. God's not going to get you out of here. He didn't come to get you out of here. He came to get you in here. He came to get himself in you and empower you to change this world and bring everything under subjection to his lordship. So don't be saying, God, get me out of here. Say, God, give me a proper perspective and revelation of what you're doing today, because fear and other stupid things are trying to mess with me, and I know that you're not giving me a spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind. So give me that conqueror mindset. Give me that might and power that you promised that I could walk in. Fill me now with the sense of your authority and your ability, and let me operate and bring your kingdom right where I am. Thank you, Jesus. All right, three excited people. Mankind is to protect Shamar, the eternal purpose. I don't want to go back into all the stuff we did already, but two things in Genesis. You got a Shamar and Kibosh. Shamar is to protect God's purpose. Kibosh is to put the kibosh on his enemy. So we are contending with the devil, and we have a command to stand and a command to wrestle. There's two things. Stand in what is yours and wrestle against anywhere where the enemy is trying to take God's things or put himself in place of God anywhere. Stand for what is yours. It's yours. And then wrestle in every place where the enemy is encroaching upon the purpose of God. All right? You got that? Good, good. Ephesians 1, 20, 21. He raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly places. Pretty close to almost above everything. No, he put him at the right hand in heavenly places above all. Not even above all. Far above all. Well, where are we going? You going to a beach? Is it far? It's really far. Far. I mean, not a little bit above. Not. He just overcame it. He just overcame the devil. No, he is far above, and we are seated in him. Far above principality, power, might, dominion, and every name that is named not only in this age, but also in the age to come. Has it got a name? Yeah, Pastor, it's cancer. It's got a name. Jesus is the name above every name. Has it got a name? Yeah, I lost my job. Jesus is the name above every single thing named. Everything. You can use the name of Jesus and take authority over every issue that somehow encroaches upon the full manifestation of his good purpose in your life. Do you know what his good purpose in your life is? Peace, blessing, prosperity, wholeness, health, strength. You are a superhuman. You are Superman, Superwoman. You are manifesting the supernatural kingdom of God in the here and now. You're not natural. You are supernatural, and you're empowered to prosper in every circumstance. So any way that's not manifest in your life, say, devil, back off. I am who he said I am, and I'm doing it all right now. All right, turn to your neighbor who's not excited and say, get excited. I'm telling you, it's good stuff. Jesus preached and says they received the word with gladness. Everything. Romans chapter 13, 12, 14. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. So what is the armor? What is it to be clothed in the armor of God? It's to put on Jesus Christ. Putting on the armor is putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's placing yourself in him. It's getting wrapped up in the spirit of Christ himself. Now Ephesians 6 again. Let's look at verse 14. Go back there. Ephesians 6 verse 14. It says, stand therefore. What are you standing there for? I'm standing there for what I'm standing there for. That's what I'm doing. Stand there for having girded your waist with truth. Say having. Having girded your waist or having girded your loins with truth. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now say above all. Above all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you'll be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. How many know the wicked one sent in fiery darts? You're standing going, ooh, what was that? I think somebody's shooting at me. I didn't think he could do that. Whoa. I'm like, you got a shield that you got to take up. And you know why you have that shield? To quench the flaming darts of the enemy. You got to take it up. Say, take it up. Take it up. Take up that shield of faith. Then it says, take the helmet of salvation. And then it says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, I want you to see Acts chapter 28, 16. It says, when Paul was in Rome, that's when he wrote this. These are called the prison epistles. And he wrote this when he was in a place. He was in his own home. They let him out of jail and put him in his own home, but he was under house arrest and he had a soldier with him every day. It says, now when he came to Rome, Paul was permitted to dwell by himself with a soldier who guarded him. He had a soldier with him 24/7. So when Paul's writing this letter, he is literally writing this letter, and he's got this soldier in full gear there beside him day in and day out. Where do you think the whole vision for the armor came from? He's writing this letter, and he says, and finally, hey, that's a nice outfit you got there. I got one in the spirit, just like that. And then he said, those having put on. Now, notice this. I want you to notice the tense. Look at this right here. Notice the tense. Not tense like T-E-N-T-S, but the tense. It's coming up right now on the screen. There it is. Notice the different tense. First, three pieces of armor. So the first three pieces are having put on. Say having, which means it's done. It's finished. I put it on, right? The second three are take it up. So you got three pieces that are on all the time, and you got another three pieces that you take up. Amen. Was that good? How many have ever played baseball? When you play baseball, you get all dressed up, you put on your hat, and you put on your uniform, and you put on your belt, and you get all straightened up, you put on your cleats, and you're all ready to go. But then it says, you guys are in the field first, so you pick up your glove, and you run out onto the field. Then, hey, three out, come on back in. When you come back in, you're up, you pick up your bat. And then if you're a catcher, you might have to pick up some other things. But there's some things that a ball player always has on. He's always got his cleats. He's always got his uniform. He's always got his cap on. Unless he goes to batting, then he puts on a different helmet. So it's the same idea that you've always got. The first three are always on. It's not like you got to wake up in the morning, I now put on the belt of truth. You should always have the belt of truth on. Because, you know, one of the times the enemy attacks most significantly is at night. And he comes in your dreams, but even in your dreams, you can say, I got the belt of truth. And you got to be established in truth. Every night I go to bed, I listen to sermons or listen to the Bible being played for me. Every night I listen to it. And I said, whatever you're doing half an hour before you go to sleep, whatever you're doing, that stays with you and you'll ruminate on that. You'll meditate on that. And that's what'll the whole night you're going to have a godly night. You're going to be stuck in the godly glory all evening long because you chose to. I mean, if you watch some, you know, crazy show where people are burning up in fire and, you know, like Cheryl watches zombies before she goes to bed. Sorry, did I confess Cheryl's sin for herself? No, she doesn't do that because she goes to bed with me. Like, we're married, though, so it's okay. And it's all Jesus. Hallelujah. Okay, let's move on. All right, so, amen. Hallelujah. So Deuteronomy 33, verse 11. Strike the loins of those who rise against him and those who hate him that they may not rise again. So when you strike somebody's loins, they're not going to rise again. I mean, don't strike their foot, you know, their shoulder, their arm. Strike their loins so they won't rise again. So you know what? One of the places you want to attack when you had a sword and stuff like that, you wanted to strike their loins. You wanted to attack the place of their strength. And you know what? You got to be strong in the place of your strength. 1 Peter 1:13 says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Amen. How many knew your mind had loins? Tenderloins, strip loins, you know, and stuff like that. And good T-bone steak in there. Now, the loins of your mind, the loins, see, the loin area is actually the area where there's procreativity. It's that area where things, the source of things. So in your loins is your strength. It's your procreative ability. It's your place where you can bring into manifestation things. Your mind has loins. Your mind is that procreative place where everything you become, your behavior, all about you, all starts in your thinking. So you need to gird up the loins of your mind, because you got to make sure that your mind is thinking right, that your mind is tied up in what? That your mind is established in truth. Say truth. All right, so this is part of the armor. And it's the first part of the armor you put on is the belt of truth. Belt of truth. Say truth. Shout it out. Truth. All right, if you don't fix yourself in truth, you pervert all other instruments of war. Truth is the first piece of armor to go on. Truth is the central piece of armor. It's not the accumulation of information. It's the foundational sincerity of your heart. Victory or defeat is determined by the loins. Strength is in the loins. A Roman soldier kept his money, his sword, his writing instruments, and his garments were tucked into his belt. A person not established in the truth will be poor, he will be defenseless, he will be misunderstood, and he'll be unkept. Because those are those things, all of those areas. So all of that, your money is tied to truth. What you write, what you create, what you lay out, it's tied to truth. Your defense, your strength, it's tied to truth. And how you look and how you're walking in the goodness of God, it's all tied to truth. And this is fundamental. It is the fundamental issue in every single person's life, truth. Thank you for that rousing shout of affirmation, truth. Prayer at West Point Military Academy. This is their Sunday prayer. Would have prayed it today. Make us choose the harder right instead of the easier wrong. And never to be contented with half a truth when the whole truth can be won. Endow us with courage that is born of loyalty to all that is noble and worthy, that scorns to compromise the vice and injustice and knows no fear when right and truth are in jeopardy. Truth. Truth is fundamental. Truth. John chapter 18, verses 37 and 38. Jesus said, when he was on trial, he said this to Pilate. He said, this is why I was born, and for this I've come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth, who is a friend of truth, who belongs to truth, hears and listens to my voice. And then Pilate said to him, what is truth? What is truth? Now, in the world today, what is truth? I meant to look up this morning and my computer started messing around with me, and I wanted to look up what's millennial truth. What's truth to millennial, you know, a group? But here's truth. Here's a real brief little outline of truth. It's coming up on the screen right now. History of truth. You ready? Pre-modernism. Before the modernism time, authorities and tradition established truth. So whoever the authorities were in an area, you know, whoever authorities were in the church or authorities in culture, authorities in your life, they told you what was what, and that was the truth. Good enough. That was simple. But then people got skeptical. They went, I mean, you know, but we got all kinds of things. Suddenly science came in and all these things and enlightenment and all this, and modernism came along. And in modernism, only what can be scientifically proven is truth. If science can't prove that, I don't want any part of it. And in this age is when people started to go like, you know, I mean, did Noah, not Noah, but who's the other guy? Jonah, that's the guy. Remember Jonah? Did Jonah really get swallowed by a whale? I mean, come on, can a whale really? And then they started thinking, well, some of this stuff in the Bible seems like total nonsense. I mean, did the sun really stand still? And they started to think, is this really, you know, the sun standing still can be scientifically proved, though. That's pretty cool. But that was modernism. Modernism said science is truth. Postmodernism, we've got to a place now where we don't even trust science. We don't trust authority figures. We don't trust anybody. In postmodernism, every man for himself. Well, I believe this. Well, I believe this. And you can see it all over Facebook. It's so much fun. It's crazy. I just made a little comment on my Facebook this week and started a whole massive argument that, you know, I thought a few people looked at it, but apparently a whole lot of people looked at it. And I'm like, oh my goodness, you know. By the way, do not process your life on Facebook. It's a really stupid thing to do. So, my God. But, you know, today, everybody, you know, well, you might believe that. I don't believe that. So when it says, gird up your loins with truth, well, what truth? And what Pilate said is, what is truth? I'm sure if we shared a whole bunch of stuff about truth today, we'd have a whole bunch of different looks at truth today. There's probably a lot of different belief systems in this room. I've got at least three myself. Let's take a look. Give me one more slide there. Abraham Lincoln, truth. He said, they were telling him about truth, and he was telling what the truth was, and, you know, they said, the truth is this, blah, blah, blah. But he wanted to straighten them up on truth. So he said, how many legs would a sheep have if we called the tail a leg? And they quickly answered, five. How many legs would a sheep have if you called the tail a leg? Five. And he said, no, it'd still be four, because even if you call a tail a leg, it's not a leg. But you see, today people are calling stuff what they want. They're calling things what they want. Their truth is coming out. And truth can change. People can have different opinions, you know, in an afternoon. So we need to know truth. Don't we need to know truth? All right, truth. The word truth in the Greek that's used in this is the belt of truth. It's aletheia, which means an unveiled reality at the basis of and agreeing with the appearance, the manifested and veritable essence of a matter. The unveiled reality at the basis of and agreeing with the appearance, the manifested veritable essence of a matter. Now, that's all good, but what is reality? What is the reality of the matter? Some other definition of truth. These pulled these off dictionaries today. Give me another slide there. Another slide. There we go. Truth. An objective standard by which reality is measured. An objective standard. Reality. What is reality? An objective standard by which reality is measured. Objective means it's something that stands outside of us, something we can objectively look at, that stands outside of our opinions, stands outside of what we may frame or culture or anything else, something that stands alone, something that stands there objectively, and it is the standard. Say standard. It is the standard by which all reality is measured. It's fidelity to an original or a standard. Truth is that which confirms reality. What is reality? What is the objective standard? Good question, eh? What is the standard? Well, it's whatever I tell you it is. Well, that's not true, is it? A lot of people think their pastor, he's just like God. Whatever comes out of his mouth, it's so awesome. Thank God I don't have you come to this church to get hooked up to me. I have you come to this church to get hooked up to Jesus. I'm not looking to build a crowd that runs after me. I'm looking to build a crowd that runs after Jesus. My responsibility is to equip you to hear his voice, not to hear my voice. Believe me, hearing my voice every Sunday, if it's not the voice of God, if it's not anointed, it's not out of the word of God, it don't mean nothing. And even with all of my trying, sometimes I can say something stupid and wrong. That's why equipping people is not making you dependent on the guru that you're sitting under. But thank God every one of us can hear from Jesus. My sheep follow me. They hear my voice. Isn't that good? Amen. That doesn't mean your pastor's not awesome. Turn to your neighbor and say, that's true. That's true. That's true. All right, that's true. Just, we're not undermining that. All right. What is the standard? Let me completely reframe this for you. All right, you ready? Look at this picture right here. Here it is. What is that? That is Big Ben. I'm going to be at Big Ben on Friday. I'm going to be in London at Big Ben on Friday. And it's so cool when I'm at Big Ben on Friday. I pull out my phone and I look at the time and I'm trying to see, does my, you know, iPhone, does it match with Big Ben, you know? I mean, what, how does our phone, pull out your phone. You got a phone, you got a BlackBerry, Blueberry, SquareBerry, something. I don't know what you got. Now pull out your phone. Okay, ready? We're all going to check the time. You ready? Check the time. What's your time say? 12:02, 12:02. Everybody got 12:02? Do we all have 12:02? We are all hooked up at the same time. So every one of us, wherever that standard of time comes from, I actually Googled that too, but my computer, I don't know what's wrong with it. It kind of crashed on me a bit this morning, right, when I was trying to search. Where does iPhone get its time from? How do they set that? It's GPS. Where does GPS get its time from? You know, when you're at Big Ben, people at Big Ben, they'll walk by Big Ben, and they'll look at that, and then they'll look at their watch. And if their watch is different, they'll run up the tower and tell the guy in the tower, you got the wrong time up there, you idiot. Turn it back a bit. let me tell you this. If you're by Big Ben, Big Ben's not changing. Big Ben's not changing his time. If you don't have the right time, he's not changing. Literally, everybody there, they'll set their time to Big Ben. Let me show you another picture. How many know what that is? That's an atomic clock. It's in Colorado. It's called the, I got it right here. Let me find it for you. It's called the NIST F1. This clock is an atomic clock, and it's actually not even that big. It looks big like that, but it's actually just on a table. But it's an atomic clock. It says the atomic clock is the most accurate type of timepiece in the world, designed to measure time according to vibrations within atoms. It is said to be so accurate that it will not lose or gain even a second in 30 million years. That's pretty crazy. How many knew time was that constant? Like, holy cow. Like, I mean, their atoms are shaken according to a specific time. There is a real time that is established in the fabric of the creation of God. There is a time, and that atomic clock is really, it's going to God's time. And in 30 million years, it's not going to variate even a second. Isn't that wild? What time do you got? You know what? Whatever time you have, whatever time that is, you need to adjust your clock. So I say all of that. I say that because there really is truth. There really is an absolute standard of truth. And because it's an absolute standard, if you are not in agreement with that, it's not going to change. You have to change. Isn't that exciting? How many do not like absolute truth? Just me? Am I the only one? I mean, absolute truth freaks me out because I like to keep my options open. I really do. I hate it when there's an absolute right. Even when in Bible school and things, I hated when the professor would give true or false. Because whenever he asked a question and said true or false, I could somehow always find a reason why it was both. And you could argue both ways. And I would argue, like we had a test in one of our courses said, did David dance before the Lord in his underwear? And I said, yes. And I was wrong. He said he wasn't his underwear. It was his undergarment. It was an ephod, which is underwear. It's something you wear under. No, Carl, I meant underwear. You know, like all you said was underwear. So now we got to define terms because did he dance in his underwear? Absolutely. It's absolutely. No, it's false. It was an ephod, which is underwear. And I fought with him the whole time. People got mad at me. And then one person yelled, what have you got? I mean, what did you get on the test? I went, 44 out of 45. This would be 45. Therefore, it was a very important point for me. Because I like to be right. And if I think it is a certain way, it is a certain way. But then if I find out there's a truth outside of me that is absolutely right, there's a possibility I might actually think wrong about something. Don't like that. But what I love about the truth is, it is the truth. It's the absolute truth. Let me show you something else. You ready? There's truth, there's my truth, and there's your truth. Well, whoever you run into, there's truth, there's my truth, and there's your truth. Like some people never believe that in my lifetime the Maple Leafs will win the Stanley Cup. That is not true. That may be your truth, but it's not my truth. I'm not exactly sure what the truth is, but I'm praying that they'll win it this year. I'm praying every year, and I will not let go. But you know what? We all got a different opinion about that. I actually don't right now want to hear yours. But there is my truth. And how many know that your truth is moving? How many actually see some things differently today than you did 5 years ago? So what changed, truth or you? You did. Because truth is absolute. Truth is truth. You can think whatever you want, but truth is truth. Now, when you run into people, some people think, well, I think blah, blah, blah. And then you, well, I think blah, blah, blah. And people start fighting over stuff. But you know what? Thank God there is truth. But now, if you look at my truth and your truth, my truth intersects with truth, and your truth intersects with truth. And there are areas where both our truth intersects together, and so we like each other in the areas that our truth intersects. So where we agree on truth, we're really happy with each other. But the distortions and the deletions, the things that are missing in my life and truth, in areas where I have a distorted truth, those are areas where there's probably a lot of conflict. But we got a whole lot of people. But God says to us, the very first thing you need to be established in is truth. And folks, truth is a big deal. And you need to realize that we're all moving toward God is unpacking revelation. There's present day truth that is truth right now that God is unfolding right now that we need to be clear on. Some people are saying things about today that are not true. And they're selling books about things today that are not true. And because they're not true, people who believe they're true, they change their whole lives based on those truths. There's prophets who prophesied years ago, not even that long ago, it was about 6 or 7 years ago, that California was going to fall in the ocean and be gone. There are whole churches that packed up, whole congregations that packed up everything in California and moved to North Carolina because of a word. What we know now is it wasn't true. Or we did the responsible thing, and when we heard that, we prayed, God have mercy, and it didn't happen. But I think people who were on the scene judged it and said it's nonsense. So there's a lot of things. You got to be careful what you hear, because the measure that you hear and the study that you give to what you hear, the same measure, it'll come to you. So truth is really important. How many are still with me? Yeah. All right, truth is good. Truth is good. So how many know you got truth, but your truth probably isn't all completely the truth? I know I'm a lot closer than a lot of people. You ever run into some people that they really think they know it all? Yeah. Well, you met me, haven't you? I'm one of those people. But I mean, if you're going to follow somebody, don't you want him to think he knows what's going on? But, you know, proof's in the pudding, isn't it? Okay, that was good. Let's move on before. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 3 to 5. We do not war according to the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're mighty to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down every argument, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So this is a part of our warfare. The enemy is attacking your head, and he's trying to delete and distort the truth about God. And things that are about God, when the enemy attacks those things, you have to take those vain imaginations, and you got to toss them out. You got to cast down every vain imagination, every thought that is not in obedience to Christ and the revelation and the knowledge of who he is. Again, the Bible would never tell you to do something you couldn't do. So that means you got to have a little jail cell just outside of your head where you put every thought. Go, just a minute, I got to put you in here for a minute. Let me think about it. Let me look at the Bible. Okay, you're a good thought. And then if you look at it, it's a bad thing. Go away. Complicated, especially because you have thousands and thousands of thoughts a day. But you take captive every thought, and you know what? You've got to bring things in subjection to the truth. Folks, a lot of the nonsense and the stuff that happens in our lives is because we're deceived. And a lot of it is because we're deceived by the enemy. What does he do? If he gets a thought in there, he goes, boom, I got a thought, fabulous. Then what does he do? He builds on that thought. And he builds on that thought until he has a stronghold. Strongholds are built with thoughts. Thoughts built up become a habitation where the enemy literally then starts to direct your thinking, starts to direct your whole approach to life, and starts to pigeonhole you over here because he got a beachhead in your world and in your head to mess with you. That's why every thought is important. That's why you must know the truth. Say truth. Truth. All right. It says, do it all against everything. Francis Frangipane, go ahead. That was good. To ascend towards God is a walk into the furnace of truth where falsehood is extracted from our souls. Each ascending step upon the hill of God is a thrusting of our soul into greater transparency, a more perfect view into the motives of our hearts. I love that quote, all except for I'm already in God. I'm not trying to get there. I'm there. So as I'm there, being naked, vulnerable, transparent in the presence of God will judge every issue of your life and your heart. And you got to be bold enough and courageous enough when something that you think is right isn't right and God shows that to you, you got to choose to put it down. I don't care how long you've been nursing it and caring for it and believing it. I don't care if it makes you look stupid to finally admit I was wrong. Do it, because it can become a stronghold where the enemy wrecks your life. All right, give me another slide. We're doing good. John 14, verse 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Can I get an amen? I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 17, 17, sanctify them with your truth. Your word is truth. 1 Timothy 3:15, in the house of God, when you're ministering in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, it is the pillar and the ground of truth. Literally, the church is the foundation of truth. Isn't that amazing? What is the church? Well, it's a place where miserable people hang out until God gets us out of this mess. It's a place where we come and compare our bad week with each other and pray, oh God, please stop it all and get us off this merry-go-round. No, the church is the pillar and foundation of truth. The church is here in the earth. It is the beachhead of God Almighty where he's going to establish his reality, his truth in the earth. Please, I'm trying to preach here. Settle down. John chapter 8, 31 and 32, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, it says, my disciples, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So does truth make you free, or does knowledge of truth make you free? Knowledge of truth makes you free. Truth is already truth. Truth is wonderful. The beautiful thing about truth is Jesus. So Jesus will make you free. But it's even your knowledge of him. It's your knowledge of truth. It's your accumulation of proper revelation that will allow you to step into a new realm. Well, how am I going to do that? I'm glad you asked that. Because truth is personal, truth is knowable, and truth is powerful. Truth is personal. Truth is Jesus Christ. You are not left alone to figure out what's right or wrong. You literally have the Spirit of Christ in you. You have truth that can establish. You can absolutely walk in truth. Truth is personal, truth is knowable, and truth is powerful. John 16, 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, now this is Jesus, I'm going away, but it's better for me to go away. Because, I mean, if you had a question, you could ask me and I'll tell you the truth. But there's going to come a time where I'm gone. But it's better. Because imagine if it was only Jesus, the physical person of Jesus, where we could get truth. Imagine the lineup at his office door to get a question answered. What are you doing? Oh, I've been here for 6 weeks waiting to get in to see Jesus. I got a question. That would be really, really hard. But that's why Jesus said, it's better for you that I go. Because if I go, the Spirit of truth that I operate in, it's not going to be with you, it's going to be in you. So you're going to have the Spirit of truth. You're going to have the mind of Christ. You're going to have that absolute tutor, that teacher, that present-day reality, the paraclete, the helper. He will guide you into all truth. Does the Spirit really know stuff about my job? Yes. Does the Spirit really know stuff about my relationships? Yes. Does the Spirit know stuff about my children? Yes. Does the Spirit know stuff about the geometry test that you forgot to study for and you're sitting in right now going, yes, but he's not going to tell you because you should have studied. He might be gracious and go, okay, throw you a bone. It really is the Spirit of truth, and he's going to come and he's going to bring you all truth. He will not speak in his own authority. Whatever he hears, he will speak to you, and he's going to come to you. Say, thank you, Jesus. Luke chapter 24, 45, 49. Right then, he thoroughly opened their minds to understand the scripture. Stop. Look at that. He thoroughly opened their minds to understand the scripture. Holy moly, I don't know what happened there, but you're standing there, and all of a sudden, he thoroughly opened your mind. I don't know what that felt like. What do you think that would feel like to be standing in front of Jesus and he thoroughly opens your mind to understand the scripture? I mean, 1 minute you're like, Leviticus 13, I don't get that. I totally get that. Holy, I get it. I get all of that now. I get it all. Like, suddenly there was a point. He opened their minds. They didn't keep on studying until they got it. He thoroughly opened their minds to understand Scripture. And I say that to you because how many think that's pretty awesome? He still, even after they thoroughly understood Scripture, he said, don't leave town. Don't try to hold a revival. I have to. I am a walking revelator. I have all knowledge of Scripture. People need to hear me. I have my minds open to all scripture. That's all good, but don't leave town. Don't go anywhere. Stay in Jerusalem until you're clothed with power from on high. Because all of that knowledge of the truth is all good, but you need the Spirit of truth. You need to get whacked in the Holy Ghost. You need the person of the truth who's going to unpack the truth. You're going to be led by the Spirit. All that knowledge that I have opened your mind to understand, the Spirit of God, he's going to teach in and through you, not you, you know, doing your little seminar because you're Mr. Smarty Pants. It's all going to be the Spirit of truth who's going to operate in you, unpacking the truth. Because Jesus did it all by the Spirit of God. And we can do it all by the Spirit of God. You can walk in absolute truth. You can walk in an absolute standard of truth because he didn't give you the spirit of sometimes true. He gave you the Spirit of truth. Thank you, Jesus. So when I say gird up your loins with truth, we cannot subject ourselves. Don't subject yourself to your own reasoning, trying to figure out, or what does CNN say, or Fox, or what does my magazine say, or what do my friends think about that, or what is truth? There is absolute truth, and it's not you. There is absolute truth, and it's not CNN. There is absolute truth, and it's Jesus. It's a person, and it's the Spirit of truth. And you literally have absolute, all truth, all knowledge residing right inside your belly. Everybody, take a moment and say, hey, how's it going? You really do. You really do. And I tell you, you got to be pliable and flexible sometimes. Because I don't know if you're as stubborn as I am, but sometimes I dig in on an issue, and I think I know what's right. And there's times the Spirit comes and says, hey, Carl, that's not quite right. Well, I'm not going to admit I didn't understand that. And there's sometimes we desperately want something to be right, but no matter what you may think about it, it's still wrong. And I hate the right and wrong story. I really do. And you're not given the Spirit to run around and tell other people what's right and what's wrong. It's for you. It's so that you can personally stand in truth. So you can personally be kept from being deceived. And it's not about you judging everybody else. I got the Spirit of truth and I'm telling you that ain't true. That's not what it's about. It's not a weapon. It's something you stand in personally. It's not something you take off your belt and go, I'm going to whack you with my belt of truth. Woo-hoo, woo. It's something you personally put on so that you can stand. You know what? And right now, be careful. It says, be careful if you're standing and you think you stand, because, you know, people who fall off, they were just like you. So you know what? You stand in truth. And you don't have that so that God told me this, you're wrong. Shut up. You know what? The Spirit can teach people. The Spirit can get things straightened out in people. When I started pastoring, people came into my office, and I told them right away, here's where you're wrong, here's where you're screwed up, here's a little prescription, smarten up. Wasn't that awesome? I know a lot of stuff. It was even times I was right. I could see things in people's lives that weren't right. And as I'd go to speak, the Holy Spirit, Cheryl, would look at me, and she could see that I was ready to jump in and give them a list of do's and don'ts. And she'd look at me, and I go, and she just shut me down with those eyes, you know. But then I realized the Holy Spirit inside was going, she's right, shut up. You know, we told people about who they are. We told them about the love of God. We tell them about the goodness of God. We tell them about how awesome it is what God has done in your heart and in your life and how much he loves you. We tell them, you know what? If you wonder about that, talk to Jesus, because he'll talk to you. Because if I talk to you about it, then you may get my opinion. But I know if you talk to Jesus, I really, really trust that what he said in this book about giving you the Spirit of truth. But in my head, I'm going like, but Jesus, don't trust them with the Spirit of truth, because they're not really that good at it. I'm really good at it. I should help them. He says, no, I trust them, because the Spirit of truth is the Spirit of truth. And the Spirit of truth will lead them into all truth. And if you'll back off, Jack, I'll get it done in their lives. But I'm their pastor. Exactly. Point them to me and be quiet. I liked it better when I got to mess with people. He says, I didn't so much, not so much. It's the absolute truth. Oh, wow, absolute truth. Doesn't that scare you? I trust that the Jesus in you is going to complete what he began in you. I trust that if you really love him and understand how much he loves you, he's going to work out truth in your life. But I do want to say this. Truth is the first and most important thing that you put on. And make sure that you are in truth. Make sure that you embrace truth, the Spirit of truth. Make sure that you do analyze things that are coming your way. Make sure that you do subject things that you believe and things that you have. Are they really true? Make sure that you stand in truth, because if you don't stand in truth, you will pervert every other aspect of warfare. Truth is so important. Are you okay? All right, because I'm just about done. I'm wrapping up right now. Can you say amen? Charles Lindbergh, spiritual truth is more important to a nation than the mortar in its city walls. Wow. Spiritual truth is more important to a nation than the mortar in its city walls. For when actions of a people are undergirded by spiritual truth, there is safety. Folks, we don't have to have the proper party in power. God's not a conservative or a liberal. He's God. And it's not about trying to get certain people and all those things. Literally, the governments of the world are down here. You're up here. The government of God is up here. We don't struggle against the structures of this world. We literally reign and rule above them. You literally can affect. You know, they have a communist government in China, and there's all kinds of Christians in the communist government. And to be in the communist government, you have to say that you're a communist. We have Christians in the communist government who are beautiful Christians, having prayer meetings in government offices, doing things in the communist government, manifesting the wisdom of God in the communist government, because they realize that God put me here. This is what I do. I'm a really good politician, but I'm doing my natural skill out of the authority of God, and I'm affecting the natural realm out of the kingdom of heaven. And, you know, in every single place you are, you literally are a dominating ruling force wherever you are. Isn't it good? Isn't it good? Listen, there is safety. One more thing. I did put it up. You know, China, they built a great big wall. They thought, we got a really good culture now. We really like how we're doing things. We feel safe. We feel secure. We've got it all figured out. So they said, we just want to put a great big boundary around everything we have so that nobody can mess with it, because we've pretty much arrived. We're really happy with where we're at. We're all safe, prosperous, and secure. So they built this great big wall. How many heard of the Wall of China? Amen. And Donald Trump's going to build a wall too. It's awesome. So, but anyways, I mean, I built a fence around my house, and I'm more happy with my neighbors. So fences are good, honestly. Fences make good neighbors, trust me. You know, so I'm not opposed to fences. But you know what? They put trust in the fence. They put trust in the wall. But you know what happened? They were overrun by another outer army because a gatekeeper was bribed. So walls and fences keep out your friends. Wasn't that deep? It's corruption and nasty stuff like that that really does creepy things. And corruption, when it ascends to the highest offices in our lands, we should be concerned. Except for this fact, we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. We are the head and not the tail. We are on top and never below. We are reigning and ruling in authority on every level. But this is the most important thing. Please study this out. Get it in your spirit. Understand this, that there is truth and you can know it. And that truth is a person, and that truth is powerful. Amen. Come on, stand up with me. All right. All right, all right, all right. Come on, just get every head bowed and every eye closed and just kind of everybody, all believers are praying. All believers are praying. We're all praying. We're all praying. Now, you could be here this morning. You wandered in, and maybe first time here, second, third time, or a friend of somebody. But maybe you're here today, and you say, truth is a person. Truth is knowable. Truth is powerful. That person is Jesus. And you can know Jesus. And I can lead you right now where you can securely and with great knowledge know that you are a child of God, and that Jesus has come into your heart and life. And so I'm going to pray with you, but all I want you, I don't want you to run up here. I don't want you, you don't have to do anything. You don't have to be a member of the church. But if you want to know Jesus today, you want to know him as your Lord and your Savior, I don't want you to leave here without that opportunity. So if that's you, what you're feeling right now is God himself, the Father, drawing you to himself. And what you're feeling right now is a tug that he says, I love you. I've always accepted you. I've always been nuts about you. You've never lived an unloved moment. And it's him here tugging on your heart. And he wants you to accept that you're part of the family today. So if that's you and you feel that and you know that, I'm going to count to three. I'm going to go one, two, three. And I just want you to raise your hand really high. Are you ready? Listen now, right now. One, two, three. Just lift up your hand right there. Lift it up. Thank you. Lift it up. Anyone else? Right now, you can lift it up. You can still do it. Lift it up. Anyone else? Anyone else? Awesome. All right, we're going to pray. All right, we're all going to pray together. You put your hand up. You pray. You speak these words, all right? Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for accepting me. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for removing my sin from me. Thank you for healing me. Thank you for making me whole. Come into my life now. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Fill me with your Spirit so I have knowledge right now that I am a child of God. So thank you for saving me, for healing me, for making me free. In Jesus' name, amen. Wow, congratulations. Welcome to the family. That was some good right there. Now listen, if you need prayer, we got our prayer folks today. Our altar ministry teams are coming forward right now, all right? So these folks are prepared and ready to pray for you. If you got any area, if you want an encounter with the Spirit of Truth, you want an encounter of revelation, you need truth manifest in your life, these altars are open. And if you haven't been to the altar lately, why not? As I tell you, it's a beautiful thing to come and get ministered to and touched and imparted to. And on Wednesday night, we're actually going to minister on impartation. We're going to talk about revival. There'll be personal testimonies, but we're going to talk about impartation. And it'll be a time of impartation for every person here. So it's a good night to come out. We've been really enjoying Wednesday nights, and I know you'll have a blast. I really encourage you to come. All right, let me pray for you. Bless you. Send you on your way. Father, bless all our young adults as they go to the beach. In Jesus' name, open the clouds above them. Cause the sun to shine. Give them an amazing time. Bless them all. Keep them all safe. In Jesus' name, thank you for them. Let them increase in their knowledge of you and their fellowship. Let it be wonderful. Let it be sweet. Father, I bless this house. I love this community. They're so incredible. I'm so honored to serve them. And I command right now the revelation of Father, the revelation of your love. Let it explode in every heart. Jesus, thank you for your graciousness. Thank you for your kindness and faithfulness. Thank you. Thank you that I'm a joint heir with you. And Holy Spirit, thank you for your continued partnership. Thank you that you lead me and guide me and that you are my divine helper, that you're with me every moment of the day. So Holy Spirit, put me on like a garment right now. Push me into the harvest fields. Let me demonstrate the kingdom of God everywhere I go. To you be all the honor, all power, and all glory in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen.